Welcome to Eclad Chat. Eclad Chat. Streaming live to you from Eclad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. Eclad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at ecladchat@eclad.com. Eclad Chat premieres in 3, 1, 2, 3.
Hi everyone, welcome. I'm Casey Benane and welcome to Eclad Chat, where we chat at big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style, with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content that will develop both your personal and professional lives. Just sort of lost my train of thought for a second. So anyway, I'm going to introduce Kaylin Burke, who's my co-host, and here with me every Wednesday.
Of course. And before we get started, we have exciting news. It's now February, so we have a new Eclad's Hidden Gem promotion for
this month.
We changed the month if you've been keeping up with the show. So for our February promotion, we're offering free setup and breakdown time for all venue rentals over 4 hours. You know, people come here, they're kind of worried that the extra setup and breakdown time will add up to extra costs. So if you want to stay within your budget, you get the free setup and breakdown, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And we've never had this offer before.
So no, it's totally new.
Exactly. So it's a great chance to save a little bit of money and get a gorgeous event space. And so if you want to talk to anyone at the Hidden Gem, take a tour, learn more about the space, you can contact us at 212-644-6445. And if you missed last week's show, we had an incredible show with Dr. Kathy Gruber. She called in and she's an award-winning author. She gave us a lot of insight and information about like maintaining mental health and all about stress is kind of the center of the show, mind and body health. And
it was actually, not to cut in, but just I thought it was a really, really fantastic show because like we got the perspective from a true professional, someone that's been in the industry for many years, and she really, it wasn't superficial. Like she really went in depth with us and really gave us some great tools and things that we can use, you know, for ourselves, for our businesses, just moving forward.
Yeah, what was cool, she also told us how to figure out if we had stress to begin with.
Yeah.
She gave us kind of these telltale signs to check yourself if you think you're stressed, and then what to do after.
Yeah.
Which is great. So it was really informational, and if you missed it, it is on Blog Talk Radio as well as all of our other shows, and also we have past shows on our YouTube channel. So if you want to catch those, you can just head to one of those different places and catch up.
Yeah, and just watch it. Listen. Yes. All of the above.
Yes.
Okay, so for all you listeners out there, don't forget, we are accepting calls, so if you want to speak to us or Jedediah, who we'll introduce in a second, feel free to give us a call at 516-453-9170. Again, it's 516-453-9170. We're looking forward to talking with you and hearing whatever you have to say. Okay, so on today's show, we're excited, and I know I feel like I say this every week, but I'm really excited, yay! Okay, so on today's show, we have TV host and analyst for Fox News as well as Fox Business, Jedediah Bila. In addition to her super impressive gig on Fox, Jedediah has published a book called Outnumbered, and her columns have been published at Policy Mike, Human Events, Verily, The Daily Caller, Newsmax, FoxNews.com, Breitbart News, The Blaze, Town Hall, and in AMAC's newsletter and print magazines. Her expertise lies in the areas of culture, education, politics, relationship, media, fitness, and a whole lot more. She's also a featured speaker for the Claire Booth Luce Policy Institute and Young America's Foundation. On Fox News and Fox Business, Jedediah regularly hosts Outnumbered and guest hosts The Five, Red Eye, and Kennedy. She's also a regular contributor to FNC and FBN on a wide range of political, cultural, and lifestyle topics. And if that isn't an already amazing resume, I feel like I just spewed out all this information. She was recently named one of Mediaite.com, it's Mediaite.com's sexiest people in the news. So let's welcome Jedediah. Hi, Jedediah.
Thanks for being here. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Exciting to be
be here. I walked in here. The space, if people can't see this whole space, it's gorgeous.
Oh.
I basically invited myself to move in one. I was like, I'm going to bring my pull-out couch later on tonight. You guys will be, you'll have to just work with me in the background watching TV or something. I don't know. But it's gorgeous here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And you're totally invited to come in anytime you
want.
Okay, so we don't yet have a TV. We should maybe consider.
I'll bring the TV. I can handle that part. That's my contribution, the television.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're excited. We're really glad, you know, that you're here today with us.
Yeah,
fun. Yeah, so let's start with a little bit about who you are, what you like to do, like a fun fact about Jedediah.
Well, fun fact would be that I eat like a 350-pound
man.
Food is my passion. It's funny because I'm dating a guy right now who doesn't get why food is my passion. He actually eats to survive. Like, you know, like he just eats because it's breakfast time and that's what you do. And then lunchtime, that's what you do. And he doesn't understand. I'm Italian. You know, I'm Sicily, Naples. We eat because it's like our love. I fall in love with food. So that's what people should know about me. I would rather have chocolate than diamonds. That is an honest truth. I swear by it. So that's a fun fact, I guess, that I eat like I'm, you know, much bigger than I am.
It's hard to believe, but we'll go with it.
Have to trust me.
Chocolate over diamonds any day.
Any day.
It's kind of, I struggle with that one.
Well, you're a jewelry person. Yeah. And so, you know, when people see you on TV, they see like this accomplished, you know, put together, you know, girl, of course. But you are a real person. We heard some of you.
Yeah, she's real.
She's real. You have all these different interests. You love Dance Moms, Bear River, Harley Davidson, just a few things we pulled about you. And we thought it's so interesting because, you know, you do have these interests, and sometimes in politics and news, people think you're a little conservative.
Yeah.
Like, anyway,
yeah,
kind of conservative. But kind of, how did you get into these things and kind of grow to love these different kind of funny things?
I'm not always political. People expect me to be glued to news 24 hours a day. I watch Dance Moms, one of my favorite shows. Younger is one of my favorite. I don't know if you've seen the show. It's amazing. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I like all of the like competitive shows. If there's like a physical challenge involved where you might die, I'm probably watching that. Naked and Afraid. Oh, it's one of my favorites.
I've never watched that. I've heard good things about it.
Oh, I would survive maybe a minute because I have like a mosquito in my apartment and I'm like, oh my God, this is the end as we know it. So I would never survive. But yeah, I'm really into culture and pop culture and music, and politics is actually a small part of who I am. It's an important part because I, you know, during the day that I'm following elections and all things like that. But I feel like you need to be a whole person. So all this stuff, I watch, you know, the music awards. If there's an award show on, I check it out and see what's going on. And we do a show called Red Eye at Fox News at 3 a.m. where we're always weighing in on pop culture stuff, which I love because it keeps me immersed in that world. So I can sort of fuse the politics and the culture.
Juggle.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Quite the juggler.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like fun. I'm sure it's hard work, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. I mean, my job, I really can't complain.
Yeah.
I did The View last week on Friday. I came home and my parents said, you know, how was it? And I said, sometimes I forget that this is a job. I'm laughing. I'm talking. I'm following news, but I'm having a blast. I mean, I'm getting to interact with a bunch of really different people with different opinions, and it's really exciting.
Yeah.
So I feel really lucky.
So, you know, let's kind of like move into like, let me ask this question before I even go there, because my mind is like, I'm listening to you and so many things are, I'm kind of going off script a little bit.
No, that's good.
Okay, good. All right. So, I just lost my train of thought. It's so crazy. Like, I was just going, and all this
you
stuff.
You had too many questions.
Yeah, because you know what, you were naming all these things, and I'm just like, wait. And then, you know, my brain starts to go, and then, of course, I lost it all at once. Okay, but it'll come back to me, because it usually does. So I'll just go into the next question, and we'll come back to it.
Sure.
Okay, so, I was told that, you know, there's a great story behind you getting into politics and doing political news, and that wasn't initially the thing that you were thinking of doing.
It's true. I mean, I was, the time that I started in this, I was teacher and dean at a private school in Manhattan. I was not doing anything political at all. I had written a column. One day I woke up, I had a conversation with a friend of mine. It happened to be about voter fraud. Mm-hmm. I wrote a column about that on a blog, submitted it. I told my parents I could have written about cats that day. Maybe I'd be on Animal Planet right now. You never know. But I wrote about politics, and it ballooned, and I wound up getting asked to write columns, Daily Caller, Human Events, and I wrote a review of Mark Levin's book. He's a very well-known radio host. He read a segment of it on air, and before I knew it, Sean Hannity had called me and said, "Hey, can we stick you on TV, and you'll just talk about whatever I want to talk about that day?" And I said, "Okay." Wow. So that was about, I'd say, 3 years ago, maybe a little long, probably like 4 years ago now. And they stuck me on TV, and it kind of just blew up, and here I am. But what people don't know is I came from a performing arts house. My mom was a theater director for years. She taught improv classes in my home. So being in front of cameras and the whole acting and performing arts experience was something that was extremely comfortable. For a while, I thought I might want to be an actress. To this day, I contemplate. I get calls to do some, you know, acting-related stuff, and I'm sort of toying with that right now. But the industry just felt right from minute one. So on camera, the first day, I think my first show on television in politics, I was talking to, you know, over 2 million people, and I said, okay, this is fine, you know. So I just kind of dove in, but it's a good story. It's a fun way to start for sure.
So I do remember what I was going to say, because you were talking about, like, you know, you just all the fun things that you like to do, and I was just going to kind of like just speak on that, because when you walked into the space, like, you have like this huge personality.
Oh, really?
Like you a girl's girl. Like that's the kind of vibe that I get from you. And
okay.
So anyway, that was what I was going to say, and I'll just let you go ahead and take it.
It was more of a comment than a question.
I know.
But like you were saying, so you didn't have this initial want to work in politics, and kind of how did you begin to get like prepared to be able to talk about politics on TV and kind of own it and master all the topics that you would need to talk about?
I mean, I read a lot of news. I would get up in the morning and just follow what was happening throughout the day. The good thing was I always had an opinion about everything. So from a child, if you asked me what I thought about something, I was going to tell you. So really all I was doing was taking that and putting it in the political sphere. So I would get up and I would read a whole bunch of stuff and I would say, oh, this makes no sense. And, you know, I would just form an opinion, and I wanted to be a reflection of the average person out there and what they were thinking. I've never worked for a politician. I'm not a policy wonk. I don't want to be. I really wanted to be that person who's on TV saying what she actually believes, throwing some common sense out there, that the person sitting at home on their couch would look at and say, oh, I get what she's saying. It would be relatable and fun and friendly, and that's really who I am in television. So it worked out nicely. And in life. That's who I am in life, truly. I'm not an expert on much.
No, I can feel the authenticity in it. So
Thank you.
It comes through. So it's believable, basically.
Thank you.
So, okay. So, you know, you were named Mediaite.com's one of the sexiest people in news. Okay, before we, like, what came to mind when you were, like, I guess, nominated as one of the sexiest persons?
Flattered. I mean, I'm flattered. I think a lot of it is attributed to that show Red Eye that I do. There is a leg chair. It's the end chair. You're in sexy dresses. I'm flattered. I'm not afraid of that word.
Yeah.
It's not something that I consider bad. It's not, you know, oh, people say, well, if you're sexy, can they take you seriously? And I say, well, yeah, I let them give it a minute and I'm going to speak.
Yeah.
You know, like something's going to come out of my mouth and they're going to realize that there's a brain attached to my body.
Right.
So I'm really comfortable juggling those two things. I don't think you have to compromise one in order to succeed in the other. So when people say that, I do consider myself kind of quirky and an oddball. I'm usually in jeans and a t-shirt. I'm dressed kind of odd today with polka dots. And so when people say sexy, it's not the first thing I think of, because I'm kind of a weirdo, but I will take the compliment with a smile. So thank you, Mediaite. And they've done that a couple of times. They've said some nice things about me in the past in terms of my career, and so it's a site that I happen to go to a lot every day. I personally like it and check it. So when I see my own name there, it's like, oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah. You, just for women that are entrepreneurs and or within, you know, business or a professional element, right? When I saw that, I was like, well, wow, it could actually be taken two ways. You know, it can, you know, diminish your, I guess, your stature, maybe.
Yeah.
Or it can do, like, what I feel it's doing for you, where, you know, you've just sort of taken it and just made it your own. You just kind of, like, you don't allow that sort of title to kind of disdain what you're who you are, what you're doing. How would you advise, if that's possible, other women to sort of own that? Like, you know, they own their feminism or they're sexy.
Yeah.
And not have it exude sexual.
I would say be real and be yourself and don't forget who you are. I think sometimes, you know, if you're trying to be sexy, I think you're going to compromise all the other stuff because you're going to put that out there front and center. I think there's a way to be sexy just by being yourself. Being confident is sexy. If I walk into a room and I see a really confident guy, that is sexy to me. I really don't even look at what he's wearing or what he looks like. I look at how he walks across a room. I always go for the guy that's not afraid to come over and make a move or not afraid to be like, oh, hey, you know, you want to grab a drink? Or so I would say confidence for women is important, and it's important to be real. You know, we're in an election season right now, and people are always asking me in terms of the presidential candidates, what should they do? And it's the same advice that I would give to women or entrepreneurs is be yourself. There's only one of you out there.
Right.
So if you're trying to be like somebody else, you're losing. And I think the way that you can use your sex appeal to your advantage and to the advantage of your career is to just have it be real. And it doesn't have to be about wardrobe or your legs, or it can just be about your energy that you bring to the table. So that's what I try to do. And sometimes, I put on a short dress because that's what I feel like wearing that day. And the world can either love it or hate it. But that's how I operate. I don't aim to please anyone but myself. And I think when you're happy with you, And you go in, out there into the world, then you don't really care if the rest of the world is happy with you, and you hope they do, but you exude that energy.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, wow, she's really comfortable in her own skin, and I am, so.
Yeah, and it's exactly. Yeah.
And I love that you brought up confidence, too, because we broadcast, and a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs, business people listen, and confidence is super important when starting your own business. But a lot of people, if you're super confident, they kind of think you're conceited.
Right.
So is there a way to combat that, or like that?
I think you have to have a really down to earth approach to things, and that's always how I've been. I feel really lucky to have. I started this whole business myself. I really woke up one day and said, I want to be a political commentator and I want to analyze culture and I want to get on TV and host television shows. And then that's what I made happen. I did it all on my own. I worked really hard. But I think I did that by not losing the relatability and not losing. I've been successful. I appreciate that. But I don't stop being grateful every minute for like the fans that listen to me. I don't have a job unless they're tuning into this or whatever show I'm doing. So I think you have to remember where you came from, remember the struggle, and always remember who you are at your core, no matter how successful you get, or no matter how, it's not about money, you know, we're all people, and I think the humanity of it, if you can hold on to that, and really talk to people, and remember how you got there, and how hard it was, and never lose sight of that, I think people will love you for who you are.
For aspiring journalists, or, I mean, maybe this could, it's not necessarily geared to journalists, but even, I guess, anyone that's in business or just doing something for themselves or trying to, what piece of advice or information you can give to sort of help them fulfill that dream? For instance, you know, for New Year's, everyone has all kinds of New Year resolutions and they're going to this and they're going to that and start a business and they're going to, you know. Mm-hmm. And then 1 month in, 2 months in, it's like, you know, you kind of drop the ball.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone like that, or someone who may be driven at first and kind of loses that spark, or, you know, like, how can they aspire to continue whatever it is that they're trying to do?
I think you have to figure out what you love first, because if you really love something, you're driven to make it happen. And if you do, you have to come up with some kind of plan of what you want to see. Set some goals. Sit down and take some time to write stuff down and really map it out. There was a stage of my career where I really was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, and I had to sit with a journal. I sat and I wrote it out, and I envisioned the way my life would look if I had made certain decisions and laid out those paths and temporarily walked down them to see what they were like. So you have to be willing to lay it out, set some goals, and do stuff in small steps, because if you think huge, oh, in 5 years I want this to be my goal, it can be a little overwhelming.
Right.
So I think if you take it in small steps and sort of congratulate yourself when you accomplish them, don't be afraid to say, wow, I just did that. That feels good, and feel good about your accomplishments, because you can't always wait for someone else to say good job. in my business, that doesn't happen oftentimes. Right. I go and I do an audition for something, and I tell my agent all the time, they never say, did I do well? I never get like a pat on the back. And she says, well, pat yourself on the back. So now I do. I leave and I'm like, oh, Bela, excellent job.
I like that.
But don't be afraid. You know, if you accomplish something to reward yourself, you know, buy yourself something good to eat. Oh, yeah, of course I do.
Walking down the street.
Listen, I'm not wrapped too tight some days. It's just the way I am. I'm just like, nice job. I let it all hang out. No, but I think you have to be able to reward yourself and honest with yourself too about what you're good at and what maybe you might need some help with. Seek advice. I often go, my parents are a huge source of advice for me. People say, do you have a stylist? I say, no, I have my mother. I call her and I'll say, what does this look like? And sometimes she cries on the other end of the line, like, what are you wearing? I often will change. Sometimes I won't, though. Sorry, Mom, she's listening, but, you know, we have a slight difference of taste. And my dad, when I have an important financial decision to make. So I feel like, you know, surround yourself with people who love you and that you trust also, and don't be afraid to say, help me, you know, what do you think? And gather that input as well.
Hey, awesome. And this show is not super about politics, but we did want to throw in something you have written from Things to Remember When Approaching Politics in 2016.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because it's great.
That.
It applies to life generally, not necessarily politics. But it's your second point, and I'll just read it quick. It says, spend some time talking to someone with a completely different view of the world, politically, economically, socially, you name it. Let it make you think and listen to what they have to say without focusing on your response. Here, don't react. Let it challenge your views and help you to discover a little bit more about who you are. Which we love this.
Can
you explain kind of what, you know, inspired you to write this, kind of your whole thinking behind
right.
it?
Right. Well, I did a little bit of that in my book that I wrote called Outnumbered. And then I kind of carry this theme through because I noticed that on the right and left, there's this resistance to opposing viewpoints. No one really listens to each other. They hear and they react. But while you're talking, they're not thinking about what you're saying. They're not actually putting themselves in your shoes. They're just thinking about how they're going to rebut what you're saying and say, oh, you're wrong. So, and that's my industry often. I'm in cable news. That's what a lot of people do. But that's not, you're not learning anything. And oftentimes, I've had conversations with people where if I'm open, I walk away from them and I think either a little differently about what I thought originally because I've learned something new, or I feel more strongly about my perspective because I'll say, oh, you know what, I heard that and I still disagree and here's why I stand for what I stand for. Mm-hmm. But there's this fear in our society of just opening yourself up, and I always say put on somebody else's shoes and walk in their life before you judge them and before you decide that they're wrong. And I'm really comfortable saying I think someone's wrong, but not until I've really thought about it and given myself a chance to, on many issues. I do this with, you know, the abortion issue is big. With gay marriage, for a long time I didn't support gay marriage. I came to that conclusion because I talked with my gay friends. I had those conversations. I immersed myself in the culture of people who supported it. Yeah. I did the research. I thought about, you know, libertarianism. That's why I've become more of a libertarian than a conservative. I think I've shifted. Just because it was what was comfortable for me. I had to go dig deep and decide what I stood for. But I wouldn't have been able to do that if I were closed off to everyone else's opinion. So I don't think that's helpful in politics or in life. So I'm always telling people, just give it a minute. Open your ears. It's not going to kill you to hear what someone else has to say. So I hope I bring that to TV.
No, I think it's a great perspective. Because, like, when I personally read it, I was like, wow, you know, I read it a couple times. I was like, you know, this is actually really deep because it's true. It's like, you know what, sometimes we have conversations and no one's listening.
It's true. It's true.
You know, or, like, when even in business life or, you know, whatever it is that you're aspiring to do, you may ask for help or you're looking for support, but you're not really listening.
Right.
And so I just thought that was really, really, like, a really powerful statement.
No, know? I agree. It's like an unheard of thing to just listen. And everyone, sometimes when you're in a meeting and everyone's sitting around the table, you leave and you, what did you do just now? You said your piece, everyone else said their piece, but no one was actually bouncing off of each other and actually listening. So if we could fix that, I feel like across the board, the country would just be a better place to exist in.
Yeah.
People, relationships, think about it. If you don't listen, you can't do anything right. You can't run a business right. You can't have a successful relationship. You can't, obviously, you can't do well in television even. If I didn't listen, you could watch TV and look at the segments where people don't listen well, and you just want to turn your television off. At least I do. So I try to be the opposite of that, and I hope people feel that I at least, sometimes I laugh and smile because it's funny what they say, but I'm listening, I swear.
Okay, so here, we also pulled another an excerpt from your, I don't know why I'm so tongue-tied, so you know what, I didn't eat. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm like, terrible. What is going on? You're hungry?
Yeah, no.
We should have had a pizza while we did the show.
Right. Like, I'm thinking about it now, I'm like, wait a minute, I said this to Caitlin earlier, but like, I don't know, I keep like eating my words and I think I'm just hungry, so instead of like spewing them out, I'm like just eating them.
It's like a little snack.
Okay, so now that we've established that, I'm good now. Okay, so back. Okay, so we pulled another excerpt from the, what was it, Kaelin?
Oh, the column.
The column,
yeah.
Right. Okay. So, and I'm just going to read it, it's just really short. So it says, remember who you are, don't lose your strength, compassion, empathy, warmth, principles, or character. Love that. Okay. The game can get dirty, but you don't have to.
Right.
Again, something else I feel like, you know, can be applicable to life and not necessarily just politics.
Yeah, I'm tough, but I don't play dirty. Right. So I you know, I'm a Brooklyn girl. I grew up in Brooklyn, Staten Island, you know, was out in the Bronx at a very young age, like held my first cab at 7 years old. So I'm a tough cookie. Yeah. I have a New York backbone. But that doesn't mean that I'm rude, and it doesn't mean people misinterpret that oftentimes. So I say, remember who you are and what you value and what kind of family you came from. And you don't have to be obnoxious to get ahead. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to compromise what you stand for. You do have to listen and be open to other people. But I always say in these battles, I watch these Twitter wars when it comes to politics, and it gets so ugly.
Yeah.
And I just tell people, why do you lose sight of your of who you are character-wise just because you're in a debate with someone who disagrees with you? It's not helpful. You're not making your point any better. You're not convincing anyone, and you just look bad. So that's how I feel. I feel like even when I engage in those arguments with people, I never stoop to personal attacks. That's just not who I am in life. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be that in politics or in my work.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. You don't want to look bad just for the sake of a debate.
Right.
Social media, anyone can see it. It's not just the person you're arguing with.
And it's preserved for eternity.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's over once you do it.
And it baffles me sometimes, the things that people say.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I don't know. I won't even go. I'm not even going to touch it. I'm like,
so just listen to that point. It's very useful.
Yeah, no, for sure.
All the presidential stuff coming up, especially.
No, it's good.
So as Casey mentioned in the beginning, your huge resume, you have a lot of great accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Is there something that you pinpointed as kind of your biggest accomplishment or something you're particularly proud of in your career so far?
I think my biggest career-wise, I think, has been to stick to who I am in an industry that really likes to try to transform you. I remember being really young, going to L.A., and having a lot of casting directors say, well, you need bigger boobs, or you need less of a butt.
Wait,
outright. You know, I did modeling when I was younger, and I always had too much of a behind. Like, you know, it wasn't the Kardashian days, so this was not a cool thing. And they would be like, your butt's too big, you know, you need, and I learned very early on to sort of love myself and not change it.
Right.
And then, so in this industry, I think it's been a challenge to remember that I need to be comfortable with myself first, and that's the foot that I put forward. You know, I even when it comes to a lot of like plastic surgery pressures in the industry, like, no, I haven't done Botox, I haven't touched my face. Why? Because I want to be a real person on your television screen. And if real people have flaws, and real people have smile lines, and real people look like real people, so I'm trying really hard to be that person, and I don't always succeed. Sometimes I look at myself on TV and say, oh, bye, I look really tired today, but I'm like, people get tired, so it's okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I've done so far successfully, and I do publicly pat myself on the back. Here we go again. But I think it's a good message for especially young women out there who, you know, strive for this perfection that doesn't exist. And
core values.
Stick with them.
I like that.
And be real. Just be a real person.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think people, it's like a fundamental thing, and I feel like it just, you know, no one is authentic anymore. Like,
it's
you
true.
Know, there's no authenticity in, like, any conversation, you know, just people in general. I was going to get too, like, deep, but I was going to say people in general. So, but yeah, no, so I think that's great. Okay, so we broadcast, as you know, on business news, event news, you know, everything that's related to sort of, like, fashion and lifestyle kind of thing, but business aspect of it. And so there are a few questions that we'd love to ask all of our guests that come on. And the first one is, what's the most memorable event that you've ever attended and why?
It was probably the one I did. I did a USO event last year to support the military, and I got to meet so many men and women in uniform. And for me, that is so amazing because I can't imagine putting myself in harm's way at that level. It's stunning to me that someone would have the courage to do that. So when I get to meet people like that and say thank you and see and get to meet them and see who they are, what kind of character enables you to do that, that I don't feel like I would necessarily be able to put myself in that situation. So that was a great event because it got to honor them and who they are and what they do. And I don't feel like they're appreciated enough. They don't make a lot of money and they're not considered celebrities. But, you know, those are the real heroes that when we're all home at night and able to enjoy our holidays and whatnot, those are the men and women that are out there making sure that we're safe. Right. So that was probably my favorite event. That was this year.
Nice.
It was at the Hard Rock. It was fun. We had blasts. We had drinks, photos. I'm not one for red carpets typically.
Yeah.
In fact, my friend Matt is a PR guy and he's always begging me to go to stuff. And I only go if there's a good cause because I don't like to get dressed up. It's terrible. I don't have television. I'm like, can I go in my ripped jeans without my mother seeing the photos? But
maybe because you're dressed up, you know.
I am.
I want to be
casual and comfortable. But for the troops, I will do anything. Yeah. So that would probably be it.
Cool.
Awesome. It's not a lot of people get to meet people who actually do serve too. Yeah.
So
it's
much
a great
fun.
Opportunity.
Yeah. Such fascinating people and so gutsy. You think you're gutsy until you meet them and then you're like, forget it. I'm a big wimp.
And since ECOD also is jewelry boutique, we always ask this as well. Do you have any jewelry or accessory essentials that you can't leave your house without or that you think every woman should own?
Well, I don't. I have some items I don't take off, but they have sentimental value to me. So my best friend got me a gold bracelet. I have an ankle bracelet. I think an ankle bracelet is very sexy for women to have. Honestly, I cannot tell you how many comments I get, even when I'm on television and they see my ankle bracelet, the world flips out. So women, if you don't have an ankle bracelet, I would strongly recommend that you get one because I think it's a very sexy item, especially if you have a summer shoe on and you can, I really like the way an ankle bracelet.
No, I agree. I was just going to say that, you know, I think it's just so 80s though. Wasn't that what we were wearing?
Yeah, well, you know, let's not age us on the Blog Talk Radio. I mean, this is what
I'm sorry.
Come here for, man. No, it's true. But, you know, I also sometimes dress like Madonna in the Material Girl videos. So what can I say? But
trends always come back.
It's true. No, it's totally true.
No, I love them. And I always have it on. I love it, love it, love it. In terms of other accessories, I love shoes. And I do love accessories. I like sunglasses. I feel like you can look like a bum, and I do most days. And you put a nice pair of sunglasses on. My favorite brand is Oliver Peoples. They are amazing. I put those on, and I feel dressed. I feel dressed and slick my hair back. So my few items, I have one expensive item that I own. These aren't real. They're cute little heart earrings that I got from a... on Bleecker Street, there's a market that you go in and there's all the different designers. Mm-hmm. They have great stuff, Bleecker Street, downtown Manhattan. I have one expensive item and it's my Cartier bracelet. I did not buy this because I don't have that kind of cash, but my mother got it for me as a gift. She's probably listening. It's my only expensive item that I never take off my arm. Other than that, I usually buy more inexpensive stuff that's really artsy or unique. I like unique pieces that look like someone put effort in that you're not going to be able to go out and see on everyone else's hand or everyone else's arm. So I have a few of those at home as well.
Yay. Okay, so are you a lipstick or a lip gloss girl?
Lip gloss. I saw that question. I saw that when I'm sitting here with my eyes are looking down like, what's coming my way? So I can't do anything matted. So I like first of all, lip gloss, you know, you take it out of it. It's just like quick. I like shiny. I like sparkle. I'm not terribly girly, but with my makeup, I do like a little shimmer and a little sparkle. In fact, I'm dating a guy, and whenever I go to kiss him, he's like, "Baby, my face has sparkles on it," and I'm like, "Oh, but you're shimmering, baby. It's so pretty." Sorry if
it's you're
cute. Listening.
You're a total lip gloss girl.
So it seems like we have a caller.
Yes,
so we're just
going
to take the call and see what they.
Hello, caller.
Your guest.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
So I was listening to some of the quotes that you guys were reading out, and I love them. They're amazing. Very inspirational. But my question was, you know, it sounds like you're very, very driven in everything that you do. So what's the day in your shoes? Like, what does your day consist of?
Good question.
What does my average day consist of?
Yeah.
You know, it varies depending on what shows I have, but I always try to do something fitness related to calm me, whether it's a spin class or whether it's going to the gym. And I used to work with a trainer. I don't do that anymore because it was so expensive. But I grab my friend Julia and we'll go to the gym and do something fun to work out. In the summer, I'll get outside. But my day, it depends. I have a weird schedule. So sometimes I'm working nights, sometimes I'm working mornings, sometimes middle of the afternoon, sometimes I'm not on TV at all and I have to write from home. So I have to be disciplined enough to carve out that time. So it's not quite as regimented as you would think. I do have flexibility. I can make some of my own schedule and organize the shows that I want to do when I want to do them. But it does require a lot of discipline in terms of, you know, I get up every Sunday and I don't quite know what my whole week's going to look like. So I have to kind of get the stuff that I know needs to get done. Like when the laundry beckons, I got to do it right when I have a minute. But I do leave a lot of time for dinners out and time with friends and exercise and everything that keeps my mind sane, because this business will drive you to whine otherwise, lots of it.
I think the thing is, I feel,
and that was actually one of my other questions, you know, what do you say, okay, I need a vacation, when you have time to yourself, besides working out and, you know, doing your laundry, where's your favorite vacation, what is your favorite thing to do?
Okay, so I don't get to vacation for long periods of time right now because it's an election season and everything's happening all the time. In the winter, I love winter cabins. If I can escape to Massachusetts and be in a little winter cabin, I'm a simple girl. I want to be able to go to the grocery store and pick up some stuff and cook it in a house that's adorable and look at the snow. And I'm a child, so I want to build a snowman like every other child wants to build. I like really simple stuff. If I can go to a warm climate, I love California. I would probably go to San Diego. And just, I like calm in my life. So I don't need a vacation that's super fancy. I don't like to get all dressed up and be out all the time. I like to be with people that I love in atmospheres where, like, I'm around nature or trees or snow or a beach or something beautiful to look at. And I can eat myself into happiness. That is my happiness. Honestly, like, you would think I had a food problem, but I honestly just love it so much.
I just love how it just came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. It'll happen again.
Was that, do you have another question, or is that?
No, that was all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I think the general consensus is that, you know, when, you know, as you're a TV host or even, you know, just people that we see on TV, period, I think people think that they're not, like, they don't do real things.
Yeah.
They don't have real lives.
They're constantly working and, like, or something.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, and it just consists of this, like, super, like, it's just all glamorous all the time.
I know. No, my life is really, really not glamorous.
Yeah.
I don't have an assistant. I don't have a stylist. I don't have any of that fancy stuff that people have. My mom's my stylist, I say all the time. My assistant is usually my best friend trying to fix my computer, which I can't do. You know, I don't even have a dog walker. I have a Maltese. I walk her myself. And when I post pictures of myself doing laundry, people say, "Don't you have people for that?" And I'm like, "People to do my, like, who do you think I am? Like, are you nuts? I don't have that kind of cash." You know? So my life is very real.
Yeah.
The truth is, if I had, you know, $10 million tomorrow, I probably wouldn't live in a giant house. And I'm a really simple girl at heart, really. Like, my boyfriend made me chocolate peanut butter cups for my birthday, and I was so happy. I was like, this is exactly what I want. I don't want anything fancy. I want these chocolate peanut butter cups.
Make that.
Oh, it was amazing. He, like, I have the recipe. I can get it to you. He made them by hand, and he wrapped them with little ribbons.
Oh, my goodness.
Adorable. But just my kind of gift.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, my friend is an artist, and she'll paint me something. Or I like stuff from the heart. I'm really simple. My mom keeps telling me, don't be so simple. Demand these big, lavish things. You know, you're, and I get what she's saying, but I can't get the simple out of the girl. I'm just, I want my snowmen and my hot chocolate, and I'm good to go. And in a horror movie, a good horror movie.
No,
and I'm
that's where you lost me.
Little Chucky thrown in there.
No.
Edge it up.
That's no longer calm.
She's like, I'm out. Get this girl off my station.
So you said you're simple, but like, do you have a favorite jewelry designer, accessories designer?
You know, I don't have a favorite jewelry designer. I was actually looking at your stuff that you had here, and it was quite lovely. I have my friend Vashti, actually, just started, I think it's called Designs by Vashti. She's a hairstylist at Fox News, and she just started designing stuff. She sort of makes it herself, and she has to bend a lot of metals, and a lot of stuff says love on it, and it's really interesting pieces, but she's just getting started, she's like, don't promote it, I can't sell it yet, you know, I can't, she has a very small website, but I think she'll be amazing. You're amazing, I saw some of your stuff there. I don't have a favorite design. I'm not typically a jewelry girl in terms of, like, I can't tell you a lot. Talk to me about hair products and makeup, and I can go on for days. But with jewelry, it's all about the piece. I go into the store, and I see something interesting. I like little skulls. I like hearts. I like unique stuff. Whoever's making unique stuff, let me know. I'll make it look pretty. I'll support it.
Okay, so we hit everything already. Wait, how did the show go so quickly?
I kept it moving.
Oh my God.
It was all the food we talked about. Just kept cycling through, like pizza and I see it.
Okay, so we're coming to the end, and I guess so. Tell our listeners where they can find you, your social media handles.
So I'm at Jetta Diabila on Twitter. I have a Facebook also, Jetta Diabila. It's a like page. I'm on Instagram at Jetta Diabila. It's really simple. I keep it consistent. It's just my name is hard enough, but. And I post a lot of fun stuff. I'm going to be posting some behind the scenes stuff from television on Instagram.
Oh, cool.
My Twitter is very politics heavy because it's election season, so I tweet through the debates and stuff like that. But there will be some fun TV surprises coming up and lots of good stuff in the works. So be patient, but it's coming. It's on its way. And that's it.
Yay!
Awesome. We'll look out for all of that stuff.
Yeah, you gotta look out. And maybe I'll be wearing some interesting jewelry. I can call you and
yes, you
say,
can. Please
what do I do? Because it's funny, I did The View on Friday, and I brought in these two dresses, and Fox likes us to wear really simple wardrobes.
Okay.
That's what I have. Mm-hmm. And I brought it, and she said, do you have any jewelry for this? And I said, what would I do with that? Like, what do I even... And, you know, my mother was on the phone saying, I told you to bring a necklace! You know, why didn't you bring... I should have had you. I could have called you and said, what goes with this? And then I could have had
shoot me a picture, and then
that's
I can
what
say,
I'll do. A jewelry expert,
blah,
I am
blah,
not.
Blah, 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 do this.
You'll be my contact. You'll be my jewelry advisor from now on.
You guys heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Now I'm committed. It's set in here. It's out there. The world knows.
Well, thank you so much
for
joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Oh, my gosh. I apologize for my gummy mouth. I don't know.
You got to get some pizza.
I'm going to go and devour something after this.
Food deprivation,
as I like
to say. Oh,
my God. I know you're talking about food quite a bit.
Yeah, it's really my fault.
It's totally your fault.
Yeah, thank you. This is a lot of fun. A lot of great information, too.
Well, I'm glad you guys had fun. I had a blast.
Yay!
And hopefully you'll have me back.
Yes, I was going to say, hopefully you'll come back and you'll do it with us again. And, you know, we'll have do something creative, like something fun, and just make it really cool.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Do it. I'm game.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we return, we'll have the news, events, and the design feature of the day.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate style conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.
Welcome back, guys. guys, so we're back with today's designer feature of the day, which is the Celine Mooncut Necklace by Officina Bernardi. And Casey and I are both wearing it today. Yeah, so I have it in black and Casey has it in silver. And it is a platinum over sterling silver beaded mooncut necklace. It's really sparkly. You know, if you're far away, you can see it sparkling, which is great. And it's definitely we call it an affordable alternative to diamonds, since it's got that bling but doesn't have the huge cost, yes, which is awesome. And so it is handcrafted in Italy. It's 8 millimeters thick, and so it's super noticeable, but not, you know, too loud. And we have a lot of different pieces like this, the mooncut style jewelry. So you can see it all on eclad.com, the Celine mooncut necklace, and all the other mooncut jewelry are on there as well.
Yes, guys. And so, as I always say, after Kaylin, you know, announces all of our jewelry, make sure you go on eclad.com and you pick one up.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to talk news. And so in event news, nominees were announced on Monday, February 1st, for the 51st Academy of Country Music Awards, slated for April 3rd at MGM Grand Garden Arena and airing on CBS.
And in Los Angeles, on January 29th, Entertainment Weekly hosted a celebration honoring this year's SAG Awards nominees at the Chateau Marmont. And DJ Michelle Pesquet, she's fun for the crowd. I'm not big on DJs, so I don't know if I said that right. And then Maybelline New York sponsored it. So that was a huge event that just happened.
Yes. And, okay, so in retail news, Yahoo announces yesterday, February 2nd, that it plans to lay off 14% of its workforce, and it says it will consider strategic alternatives. I feel like every week we just have like doom news. We should just call it doomsday or doom something.
This one too, because if everyone heard about what happened with Chipotle, yeah, the profits have really tanked after the E. coli scare. I haven't gone since. And it hospitalized 22 people, which kind of ruined its healthy food image.
Yeah.
That scared a lot of people across the country, since people do go there specifically because they think it's healthy and safe. I mean, no one wants to eat food that's not safe. So the Chipotle executive said in January that earnings would be messy, quote messy. And they were right. And Chipotle only pulled in a $68 million profit in the last 3 months of 2015, which plunged 44% compared to the same time a year ago. So it was the worst profit for them since 2012.
That's sad.
Yeah, so upsetting. So their sales totaled $997 million between October and December, down about 7% from the same period a year ago, even though it sounds like a lot. It's still down from normal for them. So not even analysts thought the damage would be that bad. They thought that they would get $1 billion in sales.
Yeah.
But people are saying that the worst may be over. The Centers for Disease Control announced on Monday that the E. coli outbreak appears to be over. I don't know how to think about that, but, you know, they don't know the cause of the outbreak, so.
Yeah, that's still kind of scary, because then if they don't know how they prevent it.
Yeah.
You know, so,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know, I'm not an expert in this, but it just still.
Proceed with caution.
Yeah, absolutely. I proceed with caution. Okay, so Macy's Inc. named new chief strategy, chief growth officers. This month, and in attempt to elicit growth, Macy's has named two key senior executive changes. Peter Sash, if I'm butchering your name, I apologize, who served for the past year as chief innovation and business development officer, will assume a new role as chief growth officer effective immediately. So I guess he's been moved up in the ranks, so congratulations to him. He will oversee all Macy's merchandising, as well as Macy's backstage Blue Mercury and international expansions. Then also, Justin S. McFarlane has joined Macy's effective February 2nd, which was yesterday. And in his new position of Chief Strategy and Analytics and Innovation Officer. He will be a member of the company's executive committee. McFarlane comes from An Inc., where he was senior vice president for corporate strategy. He will be responsible for Macy's strategic development, consumer and customer research, data analysis, innovation, and the development of future new business opportunities. So I guess they're going to be really leaning on him to make sure that, you know, things turn around for Macy's, because I know they've been kind of seeing a downfall in sales, as everyone else has as well.
Yes. Yeah. And in jewelry news, Fashion Group International Awards Rising Star Awards in Jewelry and Accessories has named its roster of nominees. So at a luncheon at Cipriani 42nd Street, Linda Fargo of Bergdorf Goodman delivered the keynote address. And so the whole awards, they recognize outstanding individuals recognized for innovation and creativity and accomplishment in accessories, beauty or fragrance, corporate, beauty, fragrance, entrepreneur, home interior design, fine jewelry, men's apparel, retail, and women's apparel. So all different categories that you can win an award for. And then the awards went to, for fine jewelry, Michael Kedar of Kedar. And was presented by Carol Brody. And it features a combination of 18 karat yellow, gold, and diamonds, which sounds super nice.
Yeah.
And for accessories, it was a tie between Di Aclefo Hilfiger of Di Aclefo and Brett Hyman of Eddie Parker. These are some pretty tricky names. And for retail, it was Catherine Smith of Plan de Ville. Women's retail was Brandon Maxwell of Brandon Maxwell. Mm-hmm. And Nina Garcia of Marie Claire presented, which is cool. And for men's, it was a tie between Donnery Duncan of EFM and Milan Breton of Milan Breton. Oh, it's like men's. Say men's. And for home interior design, Erin Lauder of Oran One. For beauty fragrance corporate, Cleo Ermendez of Firmenich. No, didn't get that right. And for beauty fragrance entrepreneur, Julie Macklow of The Beauty One. So we're going to list that on the website so you can read them and not hear me say them.
We're totally butchering
them. You might not know what I'm even talking about, just based on how I said the names.
Oh gosh, leave it to eCloud Chat too. Just like,
I guess it's like an entertaining segment. Hear us say names wrong.
I know. We should just do that for an entire show. Oh my gosh. Okay, and so in this week's events that we think that you guys should be either attending or thinking about attending, the 25th Annual Pan African Film and Arts Festival, slated for February. Well, no, you cannot attend that. Well, actually, yes, you can. It started yesterday and it's going through the 15th. It's not happening in New York, but it is in Los Angeles. It showcases over 150 quality new films and over 100 fine artists and unique craft persons from all over the world. For tickets, just head on over to www.paff, and that's peep as in Paul, ace in apple, f as in Frank, frank.org.
And also for California, it's the 31st Annual Santa Barbara International Film Festival, and it's dedicated to discovering and showcasing the best in independent and international cinema. So a really cool event. It offers 11 whole days of more than 200 films, and there are different tributes, symposiums that kind of transform downtown Santa Barbara into a huge destination for film lovers, which is great. And it has over 90,000 attendees each year, which is awesome. So for more information on that and to purchase your tickets, you can go to sviff.org.
Yeah. And so there's Cookies for Kids Cancer will have its third annual Chefs for Kids Cancer benefit. I think that's so cool. This benefit raises funds for children with cancer. And the event will be held February 23rd at the Metropolitan West here in New York City. The event will be hosted by Chef Mara Batley and featured foods from New York area chefs, including Bobby Flay and Dominique Ansel. Chefs will prepare four course custom meals for individual tables, and pastry chefs create 14 different cookies. Guests can participate in the live auction with a once-in-a-lifetime experience and a private concert from singer-songwriter and actress Jill Hennessy. For more information on this event and possibly attending, purchasing tickets, if you will, head over to www.cookiesforkidscancer.org.
And then another one for California, for those of you in the Bay Area, since it is Super Bowl weekend and everyone's getting excited there. Yes. If you can't make it to the game or couldn't get tickets, you can make it to Super Bowl City, which is awesome. I came here 2 years ago. I really regret not going because it's completely free to attend. A lot of former players will come, and you can meet and greet them, which is cool. There's a lot of performances, local food, NFL-themed activities. This one thing that they started this year, the Fan Energy Zone, sounds really fun. It's an interactive video game kind of thing where you go in, you get an avatar, and it's motion sensor. So you can play football, and it, like, detects your activities, which is great.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's also 35 free performances, you know, some Grammy winners, and then also community performers and favorites from the Bay Area. And some of the huge names are Alicia Keys, Matt Nathanson.
We should fly out.
Yeah, One Republic, Van Perry, Chris Isaac. So huge names, and it's all for free.
Oh, nice. Wow, that sucks. It should have been here in New York.
I know.
Darn it. Okay. Well, that concludes our show. Oh, my gosh. It went so quickly. You guys are probably like, no, it didn't. You guys are just talking so much. But no, we hope that you enjoyed our show. We really enjoyed keeping you company, and we hope that you will listen again next week, and I'll let you know what's on next week. It's actually Shatanya Ami, our celebrity stylist, who comes in every second Wednesday of the month, and she comes in to basically talk everything fashion, style, and even the business aspect to fashion and, you know, the whole fashion industry. So it's a great opportunity for you guys to be listening in, getting information. I mean, you know, pick her brain for whatever you want to know within the fashion industry. She's been in the industry for over 10 plus years, I believe she says. And so that is our next week's show. And what are we going to be doing next week, Kaylin?
I think we have to hit the con.
We're going to be hitting the con.
So, Shatanya, we have our little challenge. So we will be hitting the con, and we want you guys to send your videos as well for a chance to enjoy from eCloud.
Yeah. So tag us in your hit the con videos, and then we'll take a look, and we'll, you know, make sure somebody gets something really, really nice. So until next week, make sure you're listening and tuning into all of our shows, and you can also catch them on YouTube. And until then, love life and wear it well. Have a great night, everybody.
eClad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at eClad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.